أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. One of the Quranic concepts that we have that is repeated in the Holy Quran is the concept of Tawheed. Tawheed, which is the central, most essential teaching in Islam and any divine religion, is not only a central teaching, an important matter, rather is the basis of everything else, the foundation of any divine religion, especially that of Islam, is Tawheed. What do I mean by that? Everything in Islam, all the other teachings of Islam, stem from Tawheed. And the meaning of Tawheed is the collection of all of what's related to it and stems from it. So if whichever aspect of Islam is not taken into consideration, is not acted upon, is not respected, is not accepted, is not submitted to, that means that aspect of Tawheed is missing. In other words, the Tawheed of that person, that society, that community, those people, is lacking an important aspect. They don't have Tawheed. Tawheed is a concept that has depth, and everything that is taught in Islam stems from it. This relationship between Tawheed and the other teachings of Islam is fundamental, and that's what we want to focus on in this session. Many times we see the mistake of people considering these things independent of one another, seeing them outside of the context of the other, seeing the other teachings irrelevant and not in light of Tawheed, and seeing Tawheed not in light of the other teachings. The result is, for instance, the talk, the conversation that says Islam doesn't have anything to do with politics, or we are Muslims, but we want a secular government. We believe in Tawheed, however, we should not be involved in the political context in the way of condemning the tyrants and fighting against their tactics to deceive the masses and to rule the world. That on one hand. On the other hand, finding people who are against tyranny, who are fighting against tyranny from amongst the Muslims, but in fighting tyranny, in going against tyranny, not seeing the connection of that with Tawheed, and against straying off and coming to conclusions that lead away from justice. The connection between the concept of Tawheed, the oneness of God, monotheism, in the full meaning of the word, and everything else that stems from that in the teachings of Islam, that seeing that connection is very fundamental, very important. If we understand Tawheed in the full extent of the word, And based on that, understand all the other teachings, then we will have a complete understanding of Tawheed and Islam. And we will have the path that will help us move towards the goals that God has set out for us, for mankind, those ideals that will be realized to the full extent with the coming of the Imam of our time. They require people to come to this understanding. I want to go back to something we mentioned before. We said that in the Islamic way of governance and rule, people are supposed to decide to govern themselves based on what God has said. If the masses choose to do so, that's when we will have that fully realized Islamic government. And as long as we haven't come to that point, then we're not going to have that fully realized government. As much as the people want to have that, then we will have it. As long as we don't fully want it, we're not there all the way, then it won't happen all the way. The people need to want it. And therefore, this is very crucial that our understanding is corrected so that we know what we should want and then we work towards it in the right way. Tawheed, monotheism, is not simply an understanding that we as humans, when we want to worship in the sense of praising, doing certain acts of worship like prayer and so on and so forth, when we want to believe in a higher being, that we only believe in one higher being. And that we only worship one being. That's not what monotheism is, or at least that's not as far as it goes. Monotheism means that there is only one deity. There is only one God. What does God mean, or ilah in Arabic? Ilah means a being that is actually worshipped. Worshipped meaning obeyed. Okay. A being that is actually obeyed. When we look at the verses or the phrases that we have in Islam, the most, the simplest version that is available and all of us are familiar with is La ilaha illallah. There is no ilah other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no God other than Him. There is, in other words, no one obeyed other than Him. Not that there isn't anyone that we should obey or worship other than God. That's part of it. When there is only one God that is obeyed, then when we want to choose to obey a Lord, then He should be the Lord that we choose to obey. However, what that means is not that it doesn't say there isn't a God that I should worship. No, it says there's just, it denies any other deity, any other God, any other being that other beings, other existence, belong to and obey. So essentially, in the concept of Tawheed or monotheism, there is only one being that is independent, that has a will of his own, and everything else is a subject to that Lord. And this isn't a matter of choice. This is just stating the fact. For instance, the Quran says, who sends down the rain? The Quran says, who brings life into existence? The Quran talks about winds being sent by God. These are examples, various examples from the material realm that we are all familiar with to a certain degree. We all see and observe these things. These grand phenomena like storms, like winds, like earthquakes, and various other natural phenomena that are grand and very visible that we see, the Quran says God does that. Human life, God does that. Offspring, God does that. These are different examples. They are all instances of the greater concept of Tawheed. There is only one God. These are all things other than He, and that means they are subjects to His Lordship. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ in Ayatul Kursi and other verses. Many verses, many chapters begin with either سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ or يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Or we have a chapter that starts with سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Again, tasbih, denying lordship, denying any deity but Him. He is the only deity, and everything else is a subject to Him. Being subjects to His Lordship, God is the only one that has authority to make law. This is now bringing it to the human context. He is the Lord. He is the one that has created this universe. He has created us. He has created us in the way we are, where we start, where we end, what happens in this world, what happens in the next. And part of our creation involves will, the power to choose. But the effects of those choices, the consequences, if we may, of those choices are designed by the Creator, by that deity. We don't control the consequences. We study in the sciences the effects of the various procedures or actions or whatever we study in this world. We are discovering what we call laws of nature. We don't determine what those laws are. We don't define what those laws are. We discover them. We unveil them to ourselves. We learn what they are. We don't design them. We never design them. In the most advanced developments that we are observing and we are seeing and we're part of and we're experiencing, none of those laws we have put in. We always discover how these different materials work together, the effects that they have on one another, what affects heat in certain ways, what affects the lack that of, and what materials are affected by lower heat, what materials are affected by higher temperatures, in what way. And through that, we're able to combine materials. How to combine them. How... how to mold them into what we have understood to be a shape, a form that is going to fit the purpose we have in mind better. For example, aerodynamics. That's another example. How to shape that aircraft, how to shape that car to have the desired outcome. There's various factors that are there. These are all things we have understood. We never create a certain law of nature. No, we just understand them and we work with those laws. The laws that govern our choices and the consequences of those choices are also aspects that have been designed by the Lord. We can't change those laws. We didn't design them. Those laws have been put into place by the Lord, by God, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He has done so, He is our Lord, then He provides guidance. He tells us that these are things that if you do, you will have these outcomes that are desirable to you. And if you do these other things, then the outcome is a negative consequence. It is an undesirable consequence or outcome for you. So avoid this and do that. And He's the only one that is aware of that because He created it. Anyone else who knows of it to whatever extent only knows of it because God provided that. All of these are aspects of monotheism. So for example, if Islam, one of the teachings that God has is that men can only sexually engage women and women can only sexually engage men, that is connected with Tawheed. He designed us in this way. So the possibility of any scientist, even if they were to claim this, because they haven't, there's a lot of media games being played here. No scientist has ever said that a person is born, they have not definitively, no one has definitively made such a statement, they will never, unless they are no longer scientists, they're playing some game. That anyone, any person of each of the sexes is born with only a desire towards the same sex and not the opposite. That's not, God has said, I have designed you in this way. And this is forbidden. It has negative consequences that you don't want. And being heterosexual, that is how I have designed you. And marrying is a good thing. Marry a member of the opposite sex. And that has positive outcomes in this realm, in this world, in this life, and in the afterlife. That needs to be seen together. That needs to be seen as a whole. When it's not, then these possibilities come into one's mind that, oh, maybe this, maybe that. No, this is how it is. That is wrong. Why? Because the Creator who has designed this, He has designed certain behavior to have negative consequences and certain behaviors to have positive consequences. And He has said, being sexually with the member of the same sex is going to have negative consequences one way in this realm, in a different way in the next. Don't do it. Or in regards to the matter of hijab or covering, each individual woman is told that you have been created with beauties. The Quran clearly says, do not reveal these beauties except for what is apparent, which means the parts that don't need to be covered. That has been explained in the Sunnah of the Prophet. What is it that would be considered apparent? In terms of the body, it's the hands and the face, the parts that generally are being used and they're not going to be covered. You need to see people in society. The face is not to be covered. The hands are not to be covered. And of course, the shape of the body, there's even when you wear a scarf or you wear a garment, there will be visible aspects, how slim a person is, how non-slim they may be, their height, and other aspects of their physical makeup. It's partially visible. It's not entirely concealed. Not those parts that are visible, but the rest of that beauty should be concealed, except in the case of one's spouse, in one way, and certain other cases, like where women are. God has said this is what has a desirable outcome in this world and in the next, and removing that has a negative consequence. Each individual is told, behave in this way. And then God has also told us that when you come together as Muslims and you want to govern yourselves, you need to make it a law in society that everyone should adhere to these laws, including the concept of hijab, or covering, satr, whatever. These terms, we're not playing a game of semantics here. The covering of the beauty that the Quran mentions, not revealing the beauty of the body of a woman, that is a law that he has said each individual needs to do. And then collectively, when you want to govern yourselves, your government should preserve these laws, including that law, so no one is allowed to come out without covering those parts that God has said you should not reveal. These should be seen together, not independent of one another. When we don't see these together, then talks of, well, you know, what about this option? What about that option? Why doesn't Islamic Republic force women to wear hijab? An Islamic Republic doesn't force people to wear hijab. An Islamic Republic is the collective will of Muslimin wanting to govern themselves based on Islam. They are the majority. They have decided to govern themselves based on Islam. Islam says you can't reveal your body except for the face and the hands. So the few that want to choose otherwise, they are being governed by this government. The same idea of the mask. There's many people that didn't like to wear the mask. And you saw the response that the police had with regards to that. And the philosophy behind the mask is not as clear-cut as the philosophy behind covering in Islam. Yet, when that law is in place, if somebody walks into a store without wearing a mask, the store, the cashier or manager or whatever will call the police and they will come and make sure either that person wears that mask or they leave the store. That person doesn't believe that a mask is a necessary, be it that it's a wrong belief, but that's how that person wants to behave. But the rest of society says, no, we want to govern ourselves based on logic and reason, and in these conditions, we need to wear masks. So those few that don't understand that are going to be forced into that. That's a very clear, common sense principle, and that's why it's the rule of the majority. In personal space, that's a whole different... These are examples. These are examples, important examples. But this is what happens when a person has not put these concepts together. It's questionable. Do we do this? Do we not do that? More fundamentally, people want to have that discussion of whether or not we should enforce hijab based on a language that has nothing to do with tawheed. One group argue why there's reasons for it. It's like the discussion regarding the mask. Well, the mask isn't something that God required us to wear. There's no rule that says we need to wear a mask. So the general thing is, okay, if it's harmful for you, if in certain conditions... if in certain conditions something is required for health circumstances or for matters related to the well-being of the physical health of society, And those are required. Now, in that context, when we discuss, this group argues why it's necessary, the other group argues why it's not necessary. The concept of hijab, at least for Muslimin, is not like that. The concept of hijab and being enforced in society, the discussion should be in the context of, did God say that or did He not? Did He leave it to ourselves? A lot of the discussions have nothing to do with that. It's as though they're saying, we don't care what the Quran says. We don't care what the Prophet said. We think it shouldn't be, and that's the end of the story. Well, that's not how it works. That's not how Tawheed is. If you think you believe in one God and you say that, clearly that's not the case. Clearly, your understanding of Tawheed, of the oneness of God, monotheism, and the depth of that, and the extent of that, and what that means, is not there. If it was, it's very simple. Did God leave that to ourselves to decide? Then there's room. This group says yes, that group says no. Did He say, no, it's not left to yourself. I have determined this is how you need to govern yourself. Then that's how we need to do it. And clearly, that's what has been mentioned. All those speaking on that topic or similar concepts and topics have zero expertise, and they have not studied, they don't want to look at the Quran and Hadith and understand what Islam says. They have already predetermined and have a prejudgment that this type of discussion of going to what God says in the Quran or other sources is just wrong. We need to avoid that with various excuses. However, as we said, understanding this concept and the depth of it and the connection between Tawheed and the teachings of Islam brings us to a clear understanding as to how we need to proceed. This is very fundamental, as we said. If we can't get this understanding collectively, then we will remain at the mercy of our understandings regarding what laws there should be or how we can achieve those goals. We have certain goals and ideals that everybody understands them to be great. For example, social justice. Social justice is a dream of many people in the world. And each has a different perspective on what exactly that will look like. And more importantly, how do we get there? We have some general, I think, agreement on social justice being that everybody has to have, at least on a material level, everybody needs to have access to the resources, and nobody should limit the access of others to resources, and this gap between the rich and the poor and so on and so forth, and stealing resources from people and so on and so forth, that shouldn't be there. How do we get there? We have all these different ideas of how to get there. God has explained exactly the full meaning of social justice. The full meaning of it. Which is really paradise on earth. If we get to that, or when we get to that. People will get to that eventually. God's design works in that direction. How to get there, God has determined. If we don't clarify that for ourselves, then even if we are of those who have those ideals in mind, we will not take the correct path to get there. We'll always be struggling to get there, and therefore we're not going. We're going to be lost, and so we won't get there. That's why I feel that it's very important for us to understand that connection. Once we understand it, practically what that will result in, based on all the points that were mentioned, the desired outcome that I'm looking for and we're looking for is for people to realize that we need to refer to revelation to understand exactly how those ideals look like, what are we steering towards, and exactly how do we get there. Both of those have been mentioned very, very clearly in the Quran and the sayings of the Prophet and his household. We hope that we're able to understand that more and more, and that we are able to move towards it, inshallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.